listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
A few moments, Jeff and Robbie are going to come and minister. You're going to love these guys as they minister in song and worship. We're going to continue that. I'm just going to say that this week we get to spend a few days together in a pastor's group. I want you to be praying for us as well. And they're just an added blessing to this group. And so we get to use them and have them and embrace them and them and their extended family who chooses to join with us here in this service today. We're so excited for all of what God wants to leave in our hearts due to Jeff and Robbie. But they're going to come and minister in song and in word here in just a second. But I do want to remind you of ways that you can give. You can give online. You can give here today by placing offerings and tithes in the offering box in the foyer of the church. You can send in your giving. And I want to say thank you for all of what you've been doing to continue to see this work go forward. I need to say this. We have been experiencing some great financial blessings in this church, and that's due to your faithfulness. I think the income for the month of December literally doubled. You know that, Jeff, you're a pastor. When stuff like that starts to happen, how many know that's indicative that God's favor is on the people of God? And I want you to continue to walk in the favor of God and in the blessings and the manifestations of his goodness. All right, come on. Let's welcome Jeff and Robbie Eklund from Old Town, Idaho.
Taken sometimes, you know, when you're getting ready to do stuff. We're so glad to be here, Cornerstone. Thank you so much for having us, pastors. We are just blessed. We're blessed to be here, and we just enjoy our ongoing relationship with your pastors here and with you. And if you don't know us, that's okay. We'll get to know each other, you know, as we go along, right? You know, at the beginning of this year, we at our church, and you guys are probably doing some similar things, we are going through 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let me just sweep you off your feet there. And it's been really, really impacting. And in the first 3 days of the year, the Lord, and I don't know about you. Let me just back up a little bit. I don't know about you, but some people, you know, they look for one word, you know, that God is trying to, you know, get through to them about the coming year. Do you guys, raise your hand if you're that person. It's okay, I'm not gonna make you stand up and tell us what it is. Okay, let's try it again. How many people here do that? Okay, great, great, great. See, now that was very, very not scary, right? And I'll be honest, that's not what God does to me. You know, a lot of times, you know, he might give me a word to really focus on over the year, but sometimes he just shows me images, and I was wondering what God was going to do. So as I was standing at my kitchen window, standing at my kitchen sink, there's a window, and I have this little wooden, I don't even know what you would call it. It's a knickknack, I'll be honest. It's just a knickknack, something to dust, right? But it is a pair of hands, and for a while over Christmas, I had something in those hands, but I had put all my Christmas stuff away, and so those hands were empty. And I, at that moment, as I looked at that, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to empty your hands this year. I want you to keep your hands empty. You know, I didn't realize it, but I had been packing things for a few years in my hands, and it was very hard. You know how it is. you're trying to, you know, if you've got a two-story house and you've got to get a bunch of stuff downstairs and you're upstairs, you just like grab as many things as you can to get them downstairs because you do not want to make another trip upstairs. Sometimes we carry things with us and we don't even realize it. And sometimes there's a lot of things we carry. Sometimes we know them and sometimes we don't. I believe this morning, I feel this very strongly, that the Lord is speaking to you right now, as Pastor Larry has already said, to let some things go today. To let some things go this month. To let some things go this season and this year. If that speaks to you, I invite you to do a deep dive in that with the Lord. Just lean into it and say, God, what are you trying to tell me? What do you want me to let go? And you might already know. But allow the Lord to speak to you in this time.
To do whatever you want to. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing. This is my surrender.
Thank you, Lord. I love that when we put our stuff down, He fills it. He fills it with so, He fills our hands. He fills our lives with so many good things. So many good things. But we can't take a hold of those good things if we don't release the old things.
How y'all doing? Good? This mic's trying to run away from me.
What do you want me to do? You want me to do something?
Just stand there and say.
Just asking. Just asking. By the way, we're from Old Town, Idaho. Population 190. Salute. We come from a church called House of the Lord, and we just bring you the greetings from the house. Psalm 118 says, from the house of the Lord we bless you. So receive the blessing of our house to you today.
Give me cheese. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. As we
This works. This will be fine. How y'all doing? Good? Wow. Hey, let's have some church today, amen? Feel like you've been encountering the presence of God. We're so honored to just be asked to be here and be with you. I was talking with Craig yesterday as I was we were practicing worship, and he just felt like, you know, when you guys come, it's just like family. And I said, yeah, it does. It feels like that. It feels like family. Hey, would you turn to somebody just real quick and say, hey, we're really glad you're here.
Come on, like you mean it.
Hey, amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I want to just open with a quick word of prayer because I need help and you might need help. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. I pray that, God, you take what you put in my heart and you just help me to communicate it, help me to release it, help me to teach it clearly, help us to receive it in the name of Jesus. And they all said amen. Amen. How many of you want to receive from the Lord today? You know what's even more important, honestly? How many of you want to give to the Lord today? Come on, man. We're here to worship him. We're here to just allow God to be honored in our midst. Have you ever struggled to fit in? Ever struggled to fit in? Come on, you know, there's such an amazing pressure on us to fit in. I remember back in the day when, I don't know, I'm going to date myself, but maybe not. But basically there was these pants and they called them seafarers. And they went out. But I remember when I just begged my mom to have a pair because I just wanted to fit in. And now they're actually coming back. You know, the bell-bottom stuff is coming back. I mean, you just ride something long enough, and it will come back. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, one of the things I love is I love my Crocs. And my boys are both like 38 and 40, and they were mocking me for Crocs. I just kept wearing them, y'all. And pretty soon, I'm seeing young guys like Ben wearing Crocs. I'm like, hey, there's some young guys wearing Crocs now. And then pretty soon, my youngest son, Joel, he shows up at the house with a pair of Crocs. And I'm like, told you, oh, snap. There he goes. It's just going to come back. But, you know, I remember as a kid, my mom was my barber as well. How many of you, your mom was your barber? Well, my mom had one haircut. It was a buzz cut. It was like, like that, right? And I remember the style was changing, and I wanted to really grow my hair out. And so mom was going to try. She was going to try, you know. And so she really started, you know, working it. And about halfway through, I heard her go, oops. And then, you know, and she just mowed the top off again. And, I mean, that was the last haircut my mom ever gave me because I wanted to fit in. I did. I wanted to fit in. I started doing chores. I started saving my money, and I paid for my haircuts from then on out. Jesus' name. I mean, have you ever seen somebody who's like, oh, you didn't pay for that haircut, did you? No, don't say that. That's not socially really good. But in your mind, you think about it, and then you just go, grace on them, Lord. Maybe I'll buy them a haircut. Young people, they cave to pressure. They cave to pressure. They cave to fit in, to be accepted. It leaves scars. It drags people down pathways that destroy them. And yet the Bible calls us strangers. Now, it doesn't mean that God wants you to be weird. But the Bible calls us strangers. Have you ever been to another country where you stand out? I have. Our first mission trip, we went years and years ago, we went to the Philippines. How many of you ever been to the Philippines? Listen, my wife was a tall blonde in the Philippines. She walks into a bathroom and she comes out and she says, "Man, I was taller than every lady in that bathroom." And she stood out. It was good. But Psalm 119 and 19 says, "I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." And then Hebrews 11:13 said, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers," somebody say strangers, "and exiles on the earth." And then 1 Peter 1:17 says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." I don't know about you, but that hit me because I realized I have a time of my stay on earth. And actually, God is calling us to be not weird, but he's identifying us and said, "You're not of this world. Your citizenship is in heaven." Peter also writes that you're a chosen people who have been called out of the darkness into the light. So if we're followers of Christ, then the Bible says that we're strangers. We're not strange. Like, you don't have to wear your hair weird. You don't have to, like, you know, go and I mean, I've seen people do all kinds of stuff because they thought that that's what God was trying to get them to do. "Well, I'm gonna wear my hair up. I'm wearing my hair down. I'm gonna wear a dress. I'm not gonna wear a dress. I've never worn a dress. I'm just telling you. You know, I'm not gonna wear makeup. I've seen people do all kinds of things." There was a move of God way early on in our nation, where there was a leader called William Brannan, and they called him the Brannanites, and it got a little weird, where they wouldn't wear wristwatches because that wasn't godly. So I'm not saying that you got to be weird. I'm not saying you got to be strange, but you're called to be different. You're called to be different. And it's not because of some outward appearance. It's because that something inside you has changed. It's different. You've got a new heart. If you're a believer in Christ, you've got a new heart, and God's given you a new spirit. He's brought some things that were barren and dead in your life up to life again. And now he's reforming and reframing you, and he's changing something in you so that you can be conformed to the image of his son, Imago Dei. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things passed away, and behold, the new has come." And so the Bible is actually calling us to be different, to do different, to think different, and to act different than the broken culture that we are surrounded by. We live in a culture that's enamored by sin, embedded, changed, tainted, broken, backed up, jacked up, hacked up by sin. And God is saying, "I've got a different plan for you, and I'm going to empower you to live in a different way. And because of it, you are going to stand out. You are going to be different." Have you ever had someone dare you to do something that was out of your comfort zone? I might dare you to do something today that's out of your comfort zone. I went to, this summer, we have a amazing ministry in our region, and it's called Bear Paw Bible Camp. And so I went to look because most of the people there attend our church, and so they got a bunch of these young students, you know, and I mean, they're, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, 16, 17-year-olds, summer interns that are working, and they've got this ropes course, which I didn't want anything to do with. But then they've got this, I don't know what they call it, the truss platform. And this truss platform is like about 15 feet up, and you climb up it, and then they form a line behind you like this, and then you're supposed to blindly fall backwards. And so one of them dared me to do it. And I'm like, there's a bunch of kids there, right? You know what I'm saying? And girls. And I'm like, you know how much I weigh? This is like 220 pounds of coiled steel right here. But I decided I was going to do it because I'm like, well, hey, they're trained. And I'm telling you what, they dared me to do something, and it came out of my comfort zone, but it was about trust. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to dare you this morning to be different by being like him. I want to dare you to be different by being like Jesus. I want to dare you to be different by praying first and not last. I'm going to make a series of statements here, but I want to dare you to be different by praying first and not last. Let prayer dictate your priorities and not your priorities dictate your prayer. Sometimes we don't pray until we're in the middle of a bunch of mud, a bunch of challenges, a bunch of trials, amen? But you got to pray first, and if you pray first, you'll find out that God will be walking with you, speaking with you, meeting with you, and you can get through these things. How about you dare to be different by giving first and not by giving on what's left over? The Bible says a generous man devises generous things. Robbie and I have I did a message on being generous a couple years ago, and we have a jar on the top of a table in our kitchen, and basically it says generosity jar. And we just, every once in a while, we go by and we're just trying to put, you know, money into it so we can bless somebody. We're trying to budget some things. We're trying to talk to each other and say, hey, there's a couple missionaries going to there. What do you think we should give? And we want to be generous. We want to give first, not with what's left over. How about you dare to be different by investing in your spiritual growth? Man, I'm telling you what, people will invest. How many of y'all go to the gym? Okay, nobody here. Jesus' name. No, thank you. I mean, you like to eat right. You're trying to eat right. Nobody here is trying to eat right. Jesus. Okay, God, we're going to go into a prayer meeting right now. No, here's the thing. Isn't it crazy that, you know, when you think about being healthy, how many of you want to be healthy? Come on, every hand should be raised in this room. So you want to be healthy, but you talk about eating right. You know what costs you more to actually eat healthy than to eat unhealthy? Isn't that like the devil right there? It is crazy right there. But think about this. So many people, they don't invest in their spiritual growth. You know, a lot of times what they do is they just kind of, okay, here I am, and I want to put a little Jesus on, and then I think I'm okay. Instead of actually being diligent and saying, I have got to learn. You know, a lot of times, like, We see this beautiful young lady on the piano up here. Man, she is awesome. We just made her part of our band this morning really quick. But you'll see a musician, and you'll see that musician, and you'll think, oh, man, they're so gifted, right? Do you know how many thousands of hours it takes to get to some certain, you got to invest. You got to invest into your spiritual growth. How about you dare to be different by being mentored, by being coached and being discipled? I believe everybody should be discipled. And then how about you dare to be different by discipling, mentoring, or coaching somebody else? I believe that everybody should be mentoring, discipling, coaching someone else. Because it's not that hard. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, while I was with you, I withheld no good thing. What he was talking about is, as I walked with the Lord, I shared with what I heard and learned with you. That really, in essence, one of the things that really impacted me speaking of the Philippines was I met a missionary pastor out of the Philippines named Steve Merle years ago. And he wrote the book Wiki Church. And this was a guy, and he would describe himself as a short, boring, bald guy from Georgia with not much charisma. Goes to the Philippines, supposedly for 3 weeks. Realizes God wants him there for a lifetime. He starts churches. He's got a church of about five, six, seven, 8 years ago when I met him, he had churches. He had 82,000 people he was pastoring. And so what he did was he said, people would come to him and say, what did you do? What was the key? And he said what he would do is he would go and he would start discipling people without them really even knowing what they were doing, what he was doing. He just starts sharing his life, sharing Jesus with them. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I've got to go. Will you become my disciple? Can I disciple you? That's not the way that Jesus did it. He said, come and follow me, and I'm going to share some stuff that I learned from God with you. And so that's what this guy did. So he'd take a young guy like Ben and say, Ben's just giving his life to the Lord. He'd say, read the book of Mark. You read the book of Mark? Yep. Okay, now go share it with somebody, and you're discipling them. And if they get ahead of you, they're discipling you. So make sure you stay one chapter ahead. And that's what he did. Amazing, amazing stuff. We've got to be mentoring. We've got to be coaching. How about you dare to be different by serving and not just volunteering on occasion? Really, there's no volunteer terminology vernacular in the Bible. It's like we're called to serve. Jesus said, he who would be great. So he didn't say anything that it's not good to desire to be great, but he said, he who would be great must become the servant of all. So the question would be, I dare you to serve. If you're not serving, serve. If you're not serving, you are a spectator and a consumer. Told you it'd be a little challenge. But I realize the more that I just like watch the game, the more I'm critical of the game. If I'm in the game, I'm playing the game, I'm much less critical of the game. But I turn into an armchair quarterback really quick, like yesterday, second half, Seahawks. Right? You got to get in the game. How about you dare to be different by making the gathering of God's people a priority? A lot of times we're just coming because like, okay, man, some things in life aren't good, so I probably should go to church. Listen, it speaks in the Bible in Hebrews of forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but even more so as you see the day approaching. There's actually an admonition in the Bible not to gather less, but to gather more, because something powerful, it transforms us when we come with people that are carrying the presence and the Spirit of God. Something absolutely changes. We've had people, new people come into our church. They've been there one time, and we've heard more than one of them say, as soon as I got out of the parking lot, I felt the presence of God, something different than I'd ever experienced when I stepped out of my car. I'm like, yes, God, because that's what we're called to be, a presence church, presence people. And it's really hard to come together if you're not present. So I dare you. Make a new habit. Make a good habit. Dare to be different by speaking the best of people instead of the worst of people. Dare to be different. Because our culture is so good at tearing people down, tearing stuff down. But can I tell you, criticism is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Suspicion is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who are here. What should come out of our heart, out of our mouth, out of our communication is grace for people. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes you don't bring some correction and speak some firm things, but there should be this grace that comes out of people, and because God has given us grace. So how about we dare to be different by not falling into gossip or backbiting? Man, I'm telling you what, Pastor Larry, man, sometimes in the church, there's a few sins that we're like, oh, that is terrible. That's the blackest of the black. But you know what we don't really deal with much? Is sin. Gossip is one of the most destructive sins that there are. Absolutely. And we don't really bring much correction on that or deal with that. In fact, a lot of times we just facilitate it. If we're not careful, we do. It's so easy. It's so easy. Hey, brother, I got a problem with my sister over here, but I just want to talk to you first so that maybe you can pray for me. Shut up. Have you went to her first? Nope, I haven't. Well, go to her first, because that's actually what Matthew 18 instructs us to do. Go to her first, and then if you can't get it resolved, then come and get me, and we'll do it together. Man, that would, wouldn't that just clean up so much junk that we deal with? How about dare to be different by sharing your faith? Share what God's doing in you. 95% of believers don't share their faith. We kind of hope that, you know, maybe people will just get it. But we're actually, we've been created and called to be people of communication. When God spoke, there was light, right? All creation came about because God spoke. There's something about speaking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's not that hard to get into a flow and a rhythm of just sharing. The most important thing in your life should be Jesus and sharing Jesus. Amen? How about you dare to be different by swimming upstream instead of just going with the flow? Come on, how about you dare to be different by doing something that other people aren't doing? When you go with the current, you got to find the right current, because there is the right current. But don't be carried away by current events. Don't be carried away by conspiracy currents. I don't know about you, but I live up in North Idaho, and there's a lot of conspiracy currents that go on up there. Isaiah, I came across this. It just really spoke to my heart. Isaiah 8, 11 through 12. It says, "For the Lord spoke to me thus, with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people who say, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled." I'm not saying to stick your head in the sand and be ignorant of what's happening in our culture. But what I'm saying is that you can get in that current, and it can be so strong that actually you'll end up, it invites an attitude of being troubled all the time, being anxious all the time, being fearful all the time. And that's not who we've been called. It'll actually open up demonic pathways where basically you're paralyzed by anxiety, you stop doing anything, or you move into survival mode. Yet the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. We're not in survival mode. We're actually in conquering mode. You know, we're in conquering mode, because you got to find, for example, the current. If you're going to swim with the current, find the current of integrity. Swim in that current. Surround yourself with people of integrity, and it'll help you walk in integrity. Find yourself in the current of purity. Because there's a lot of currents out there. Like if you're going to swim in the current of purity, that's a current that's actually not really too much out in our culture. But that's what we're called to do. Find the current of wholeness. Find the current of contentment. Paul said this, "I've learned to be content, whether in plenty or in want." And I'm thinking, contentment. You know why we're not content? Because we absolutely are bombarded by people that are trying to influence us that we need something that we really don't need. Is that amazing? I might have said this to you last year. Do you realize the average person encounters 1,000 ads per day? 1,000 agendas per day of somebody wanting to create something in you. Gotta have that. Man, if I just had the big truck, if I just had the trophy wife, if I just had the, you know, whatever. I mean, go. And it creates something in you, and it's not contentment. But the Bible says contentment with godliness leads to great gain. You know why it does? Because I think you just don't be spending your money on everything. There's something here we've got to learn that we've got to, I think the Word of God is daring us to be different. How about we dare to be different by believing in miracles and healing and that God still delivers? Come on, man. We are seeing some amazing, amazing things happen when we break through our Man, that's old. That's Bible stuff. Listen, it's still Bible stuff. There's still this amazing move of God. Now, does everybody that come up get healed? No. But the more people that we pray for, the more people get healed. The more people get delivered, the more people get released, the more people find addictions that are broken. Listen, I mean, we got to realize that God is a powerful, wonderful, amazing, working God, and we believe in this. How about we dare to be different by becoming an instrument, a vessel that God uses to touch the earth? See, too many times we're just hoping, oh man, I hope the anointed man of God will do the job. It's like you're anointed. God's actually equipping you. You know what my job is to help equip the saints. You know what the saints' job is to do? To be vessels that actually expand and advance the kingdom of God. It's crazy. A lot of times we're so platform driven, but we fixated on it. And we've got to dare to be different. You come here to be healed, to be equipped, to be encouraged, and then you get sent out. It's almost like, I would have loved to actually, you can talk football around here, right? Okay, that's what I'm thinking. I would have loved to be in the locker room at halftime in that Jaguar game. Seriously, shocked me. I turned the game off. We watched the movie. And then my brother, right before we went, you wouldn't believe this. They came back and won. I'm like, oh, snap, you're kidding me. Somebody stirred somebody up. Somebody got somebody recentered. Somebody got somebody reframed. Somebody got somebody out of the, we're losing this thing into the, we're going to win this thing. And that's really when we come together, we worship Him, and God imparts to us by His Spirit. We're equipped by the Word of God. And something happens and something stirs in us where we go out and said, I am more than a conqueror. I can go out. I can do it. I can reach out. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm more than what God has called. I'm what God has called me to be. Dare to be a stranger. Don't be strange. You don't have to be weird, but be a stranger and a foreigner, as our citizenship is in heaven. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. You guys hanging with me? Okay, cool. Because I'm going to wrap this thing up, and we're pray for some people, or we're going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to do whatever the Lord wants to do. Amen. I mean, I'm always waiting for the Holy Spirit to call an audible. Okay, Lord, this is what we're going to do. It says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, you are seated in a new place. Have you ever got a new vantage point and you realize what you weren't seeing before, you are seeing now? Like if I was to basically say, hey, there's a chair up here and I'm going to grab somebody from the congregation, you would have a whole new view. You're still in the same room. It's the same people, right? It's the same lighting. It's the same atmosphere. But now because you're seated in a different place, you have a different viewpoint. And the Bible says that we have been raised up with Him and seated in heavenly places, and our viewpoint has got to be a heavenly viewpoint, not an earthly viewpoint, not a defeated viewpoint, but a victorious viewpoint. And it changes everything in you, because like, I see different now. I see different now. The amazing thing is with all this is God has supplied you with all you need by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you is motivating, it's directing, it's counseling. He's remaking you from the old into the new, because the world doesn't need the old new. The world doesn't need the old me. Man, when I think about the old me, I'm just like, oh, God, I wish you would have just killed that old guy a long time ago and raised me up new earlier on. The world doesn't need the old you. Doesn't need our old mindsets, our old sin, our old habits, our old addictions, our old preconceptions, our old criticisms, our old sarcasms, our old way to talking. The world needs the new you. The world needs the new me. And the cool thing, it's not like just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get it done. It's like, no, I'm actually going to empower you to do that. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is by faith receive. And you're going to find some things in your life are absolutely turned completely upside down in an amazing way. And sometimes what happens is that we end up kind of like, how many of you just got, you get in a comfort zone. Even if it's a bad zone, it's comfortable. You know, you get into a rut, but because you're comfortable with the rut. And sometimes, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes even some of the people that it's most difficult for is the older people. Because we don't like change. I mean, I'm saying I don't like change as much as I did when I was 20. When I was 20, it's like, hey, bring it on, no big deal. But they say there's old pilots and bold pilots, but no old bold pilots. We got to realize, though, I'm an eternal being. I'm living forever. Okay? I can move with, you know, as long as I make room in my life for the Holy Spirit, He will actually move me into rooms that He's created. He'll move me into the stuff that's maybe not quite in my comfort zone. But I'm telling you what, the world doesn't need the old you. It's got plenty of people that were like the old you around. It needs the new you. One that's accessing heaven and one that's bringing things to earth as God works through you. Come on, somebody's needing to hear this today. God's got a new season for you. God's got a breakthrough season for you. God's got a door for you to walk through that will absolutely change your life. How about we dare to trust God like we've never trusted Him before? Could I have like a piano player? Where's my favorite little? There she is. I don't know what we're going to do, honey, but let's just do it. I just feel like there's something this morning where if you will take that step, if you'll take that step and make some room in your heart for God to move, I believe that 2023, He's going to surprise you. I believe that God, you know, the word that just comes to me right now is the word shift. You know, I feel like the Holy Spirit is just saying there's some people in here this morning, maybe some people online, that you need a Holy Spirit shift in your life. You need something to shift, but you're really not even sure how to create that shift. But I'm telling you what, you don't have to create something. You just have to receive something. You don't have to make something happen. You just have to allow the Lord to do something that He wants to do, because what He has created is far more than what you can think, ask, or imagine. How about this year that we dare to love people like we've never loved them before? How about this year that we dare to forgive like we've maybe never forgiven before? How about this year we have a whole new mindset on pursuing God? You know what it feels like, how good it feels like when somebody is pursuing, you know, unless they're weird, you don't want them pursuing you, right? But it feels good to have people that want to be with you, want to be around you. Hey, I'm just checking in. You know, you got time for God? God is always doing that. He's wanting us to pursue Him because He's been pursuing us. And when that happens, there's an amazing collision of grace and truth that meets in our life. I want to do this morning. If you're feeling that word shift, and you're saying, God, I don't know what it looked like. Here's where you might have to trust God. Here's where you might have to trust Him, because it's without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Abraham left before he knew what the destination was. men and women of God that the Bible talks about and the heroes of faith, they took the step of faith and they said, I am just going to trust God. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to trust Him. And if you're here this morning and you feel like, I feel that word shift, I need something to shift, I need something to move in my life, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up right where you're at. I want to receive that shift, man. I might be a little scary, Lord. You might ask me to do, you might be a little scary. God's moving. He's going to shift some things in your life. Because there was a time when you were on the back row, but God has called you to be on the front.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at Cornerstone Aberdeen.